Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. As usual, I take your questions that you have emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com, right here on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. If you want to get your question read, then just email it to us. I want to thank those of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Alexander for your generous support from Utah. I want to thank Thomas for your support from Ohio. And I want to thank Benjamin for your very phenomenal, I mean, overwhelming support from North Carolina. Also, Kim from North Carolina, where she says, thank you for what you do for our country. Charlie for president 2024. I'm too young, so I'm going to be here. So if you want to support our effort, it's charliekirk.com/support. We go through a lot of different topics today. We cover how a Republican can become governor of California. No joke. We cover the efficacy of the vaccine. And we also talk about, is it time to impeach Biden? We go into detail with that. And also, what we can learn from Hungary. What? What America can learn from Hungary? Yes, that's right. We'll all be in Budapest soon. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. It's an Ask Me Anything Monday. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and more. And HR manager salaries are never cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboard and terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, there are no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time in HR compliance. For the first time ever, Bambi is offering you a free trial at Bambi.com/Kirk. Spelled Bambi.com/Kirk. This is their best offer ever. Start your free trial at Bambi.com/Kirk. Shock poll shows Gavin Newsom losing recall vote by double digits. California Democrat, according to a poll by the San Diego Union-Tribune, not exactly a right-wing outlet, was conducted amongst 1,100 Californians from August 2nd to August 4th, and it found 51% of respondents were in favor of recalling Gavin Newsom, while only 40% wanted to keep him in power. 11 points. The previous San Diego poll found 36 people in favor of the recall and 47% opposed. Gavin Newsom's numbers have sunk by 20 points, everybody. We're getting a lot of questions about it. freedom@charliekirk.com. They say, Charlie, who are you behind? Answer, Larry Elder, electelder.com. And I got to give our show credit. I got to give Andrew credit. I got to give Connor credit. I got to give our whole team credit. We have been on this California recall story early. We were on it when they were just collecting signatures. We were on it, man, at least 9 months, 9-10 months ago. Now it's kind of like the cool thing to be talking about. But I'm here and I want to get the drumbeat going. This can happen, everybody. So people are saying, well, what do I do? What can I do to make a difference? This, if we get Gavin Newsom recalled and Larry Elder is governor of California, I'm going to think about it before I say this. That almost is bigger than Donald Trump winning the presidency in 16. Not bigger as sir as geopolitical claims, but a bigger upset, a bigger deal. California is supposed to be the progressive city on the hill. California is supposed to be the untouchable state. You get Larry Elder as a pro-life governor. I'm telling you, I handicapped the odds at 30% before. I think we're at about 50%. What do you think, producer Connor? I think we're about 50%. I would give the odds 50%, heads or tails, that Gavin Newsom gets recalled. Now, some people are saying, well, a Democrat is currently in the front for the replacement. These Republicans need to drop out is what needs to happen. They need to consolidate support behind Larry Elder. This guy, Paffrath, received 27% of support. Larry Elder at 23%. And Jenner needs to get out of the race. That's a joke. It's a total joke. Two polls from Emerson and Nexstar Media, one released in July and one in August, showed a clear movement away from Newsom in the last 2 weeks. And guess what? They're going to lock down California again while the recall effort is coming up. So you might be saying, Charlie, when is the recall? It's September 14th. Am I right with that? I think it's a Tuesday, right? Is that right? September 14th. And guess what? A lot of you say, Charlie, I loved your election live stream you did. We're going to be back in the chair all night for the California recall. We will be watching it in real time. So circle your calendars. September 14th, you can watch us on all the different live stream channels. We're going to have a whole set of experts. We might even fly in producer Andrew from Santa Barbara. And maybe we'll be celebrating. What if this is the first domino to drop? What if a Republican becomes governor in California? What does that say for the 2022 midterms? I love everything about this because that will throw a curveball and a boomerang and an offensive strategy to California, who's basically running our country. Let me prove it to you. California is running our country. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. Adam Schiff is head of the House Intel Committee. Eric Swalwell is acting like the Sultan of Brunei, shirtless in a foreign Middle Eastern country with slaves around him in some sort of country that's awful for free speech protections. We have Kamala Harris, who's the Vice President of the United States. Menlo Park has Google, Facebook, and Twitter all headquartered there. California runs the whole country. And you're trying to tell me that if Republicans can't win back the governor's mansion in California, that you can't all of a sudden take back the House or the Senate? I want to give a shout out to Jack Hibbs. Jack Hibbs is a dear friend of mine. He's a pastor from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And Jack Hibbs came up to me. He said, this was back in February. And actually, I did an event with him in January. Remember that event? That was a really big event. And he says, Charlie, I have a vision. We're going to win back California. I say, Jack, I will never disagree with you, man, but come on. And I'm not saying it's done. It's not over. There's going to be potential shenanigans. I was going to say the F word, but they could pull down your feed because of that. There's going to be nonsense. There's going to be ballots all over the place. But turnout will be low for the Democrats, and it will be high for Republicans. All the polls say Hispanics are the only ethnic group to support the recall. So in a hilarious turn of events, the massive open border campaign of the Democrats to bring in more voters are actually going to get Gavin Newsom recalled. Potentially. Now, if you're listening to this in California, get involved in the recall effort. Knock on doors. Give some money. The center of the political world right now is in California. Connor, there's not another election coming up before that's more important. Would you agree? Not 6 weeks, right? There's not another election that's coming up. Maybe you're just anxious. And you're like, man, I want to do something. Put some attention on California. Gavin Newsom's on defense. And if you could take out the metaphorical head of the snake, so metaphorical, okay, all of a sudden, what else can fly from that point forward? Now, there were some Ohio elections last night, but that's not even as close to being important, where Trump's endorsed candidate won in Ohio. Got to keep the drumbeat going. And I'm telling you, we can win in California. Where else can we win? New York? Maybe Cuomo's the next to go. Maybe we could take back the Senate in record numbers. Maybe we're going to take back the White House in 24 in big numbers. Don't lose hope, everybody. There's a lot of that going around. We are going to see a grassroots California constitutional reset. And I could tell you right now, there is a remnant of great folks in California. I speak there all the time, and they are so fired up, and they are eager, and they are willing to try to do something. We have that Wolf of Wall Street clip. This is the drumbeat that we got to start. Okay, play tape.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. denominator. Keep it up on me. How the money comes in.
That's what we got to do with the recall. Start the drum beat, everybody. Get it going. Da-na-na-na-na. Recall Newsom. They're worried. They're trying to cover every story they possibly can. They have this big campaign. Reject the Republican recall. No, it's a recall on you, Gavin Newsom, and you're down double digits. There is a movement in this country of patriotic, God-fearing Americans that are not giving up yet. They're fed up with the Republican Party because they don't fight, but they want something to do. And Gavin Newsom, who has shut down the state, lied about it, did shenanigans with the nursing home scandal. He is now, in the next 6 weeks, the most vulnerable person in politics, besides Andrew Cuomo. And I'm loving it. I often talk about the crushing debt and lack of jobs that come with the broken college system in our country and how entering a trade or vocational school can provide great career opportunities where you are and skills will always be in demand. I want to talk to you about a good friend of mine, a great American who runs an organization called the American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing. Maybe you're looking for a career. Maybe you just graduated high school. Maybe you are not really sure what you want to do with your life. Well, the American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing is a place where you can get a skill in 6 months, and 93% of the people that go through this training get jobs with wages of $50,000 and can earn to $70,000 or $80,000 a year. And you might say, what is it? Well, it's trainingndt.com. That's trainingndt.com to learn how you can have an opportunity to work in industries such as aerospace, oil, gas, nuclear, and alternative energy as a technician performing critical inspections that make our world a safer place. So non-destructive testing is where you are inspecting America's critical infrastructure. Let me tell you why this is important. It's recession-proof. Even if the economy goes down, things we already have need to get inspected. Critical infrastructure needs to be looked at. Rocket ships need to be looked at. Nuclear plants need to be looked at. And guess what? People going into non-destructive testing needs to go up because so many people are retiring. There's a huge opportunity out there for you. Their program consists of 6 months online education, followed by 3 weeks at the American Institute campus using state-of-the-art inspection equipment such as ultrasonics, capturing x-rays, and producing magnetic fields to inspect critical components to ensure their safety and reliability. I want you to know that Don Booth, the CEO, is a patriot, and his whole team cares about the future of every single graduate. So if you guys are looking for a job, looking for a career, looking for the next thing to do in life, or maybe you're 40 or 50 years old, you're like, man, I want a fresh start. Go to trainingndt.com and learn about this exciting and rewarding career. We here on the Charlie Kirk Show want to give the muscular class a voice. 93% job placement. It's pretty amazing. No college can tell you that. 93% job placement working with your hands, maybe in aerospace, oil, gas, nuclear, or alternative energy. Go to trainingndt.com and learn about this exciting and rewarding career. Someone asked us, they emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Walter, they said, Charlie, why don't people leave California if it's so terrible? Producer Andrew and I were just messaging back and forth. And by the way, if I select your question, you win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. So email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I know this is going to sound silly, but it really does come down to the weather. It's that simple. California has the highest sales tax, highest gas tax, highest income tax, most homeless, most abortions, most vagrancy, degeneracy, but it's actually kind of nice at night. California nights and California mornings, even California days. Throughout the year, it can get hot here and there, but it's really pleasant and decent. It really does kind of come down to a nice way of life. Their schools are awful. It is an objectively beautiful state, which actually fires me up. Of how people could mess up California. And it And, you know, it does have some great people. And the reason it has lots of good people is the idea of California used to be that you could come to California with nothing and you could become anybody. I mean, right now in Phoenix, what is it, 117 degrees outside? Easily. No, actually, yesterday it was 124 in the car when I got in. It said 124. I saw the numbers. It's 124. And in Thousand Oaks, what's the temperature in Thousand Oaks? It's a nice 79 degrees. Big difference. It really does come down to the weather, the objective beauty, and the people. And so I guess it's a fight in California over who is going to win back the chambers of power, and will Democrats finally be challenged and pushed back against? Okay, let's get to the next question here that you guys have emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Here's a great question from Chastity. Hi, Charlie. You know what I'm curious about? What are these people doing with their stimulus checks and enhanced unemployment? Since apparently they aren't paying their rent and utilities, my husband, son, and I have not missed one day of work since this started and paid our bills on time with each month without government assistance. It makes me so angry. Chastity. This is why I was never for this eviction moratorium. Take some personal responsibility. If the government is going to send out free money in every direction, and if the government is also going to have massive unemployment, and we also have a very generous social welfare state, way too generous, way too big, way too overbearing, then why also do we need to have the people that refuse to pay their rent not be able to be evicted? You know what you're really doing? Is you're destroying the small level scale rental market in our country. Is you're destroying the ability for business owners that might have 10 or 12 tenants and they're making revenue off of that and they have to pay a lot in property taxes, you're destroying that entire business model. And what it really does is it subsidizes bad behavior. If you're at the point right now and you're in August of 2021 and you still have not paid enough rent where they want to evict you, you got some serious financial problems. You should not be living there. You should be evicted, especially with all the assistance that's been available to you. Instead, we're penalizing the people that have been paying their rent. I want you to think about this. The people that have been paying their rent, you know what they should be asking? Why did I pay my rent? Why did I do that? Now, it could harm your credit, but actually, Connor, can you look into this? I don't think they were allowed to put strikes against your credit. Am I right? Is that correct? So why even pay your rent? If you rent in the last year and a half, you're a sucker. If you pay rent, you didn't need to. Because I don't think there was any downside. Is that right, Connor? So you got a bunch of people that have been living literally rent-free. I know that sounds, because that's like an expression, rent-free. But if you've been paying your rent, all that money you could have spent on other stuff. And there would be nothing used against you. Yeah, because you can't strike down the credit. You might be getting in some arguments with your landlord, but you know what you'd say is, you can't evict me. It's against the law. Have a nice day. It is so incredibly immoral to subsidize people that are flippantly and intentionally stealing lodging. That's what it is. If you are intentionally not paying your rent after this long, you are stealing lodging and stealing property from people that have invested their capital into housing you. That's what criminals do. That's what people that believe in theft do. And now the federal government coming in and saying, oh, no, we're going to extend another 6 months. What's the business model again for actually owning apartments now? How are those numbers going to work? If you get a bunch of people that just kind of come and be like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll pay the security deposit. Now you can't get rid of me. While over $46 billion was given in rental relief and just $3 billion has made it out. You know where that money's been going? They're not paying rent. They're buying other stuff. They're buying goods that do not appreciate in value. Look, we are all equal. We don't have equal talents. We don't have equal desires. We don't have equal outcomes. But we're all equal. We all need to eat. What are you eating? Maybe it's Chinese meat. Maybe it's grocery store stuff you can't define. When is the last time you think you had American meat? Chances are it's been very long. Did you know that over 80% of grass-fed beef sold in the United States is imported from overseas? My friends, The Good Ranchers crew have traveled the country on a mission to help the American family. How? By working together with local farms and ranches and shipping straight to your door. GoodRanchers.com is a safe and convenient way to order your meat. They save your family money and help the American farmer. What's for dinner tonight? I'll tell you what I'm having. A T-bone from GoodRanchers.com. We got this box of meat. And Connor sprung into action as soon as the box arrived. It was unbelievable. The box arrived, and, you know, you could say it was like a child at Christmas. You could say all sorts of things. It was beyond that because it was American meat. In fact, some people working at our office, they twirled around in their chair, and they just stared at the box of meat. And, in fact, one of them said, "Do we get any of that meat?" And producer Connor said, "No way." Do you want to have a box of meat delivered to your door with that kind of a reaction? Well, GoodRanchers.com saves you the trip down the meat aisle and brings steakhouse quality meat. So go to GoodRanchers.com/Charlie right now. Better than organic chicken means no hormones, no antibiotics. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. Get 20% off and free express shipping. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. Hi, Charlie. I've lived in a house with a landlord for 3 years and now have never been late and find it hard to believe to have done it any other way. If I didn't pay my bills, he wouldn't have paid his and I still would have been out on my tail. He used a different word. I don't get how people think this is legal, moral, and humanly possible in any society. Walter, New York. Well, Walter, unfortunately, it's legal because our government is subsidizing lawlessness. Intentionally staying in a home without paying rent or a condo or an apartment. Let me say that again. Intentionally, not having some sort of unforeseen medical emergency, but intentionally, is no different than walking into a bank with a firearm and taking money. You are stealing property from somebody else. You are stealing the ability to monetize that property. And what we've done is we have basically said to anyone who has paid rent in any capacity, if you're listening all across the country right now, that you are a sucker and that all that money you paid as rent could have been used for something else. We just taxed the responsible people and we bailed out the irresponsible people. I wonder what that sounds like. It sounds like the 2008 financial crisis, doesn't it? Where we taxed the people that actually were responsible with their mortgages, and we bailed out the banks and the people that were irresponsible with their mortgages. A question here says, it's Eric from Fargo, North Dakota. Hey, Charlie, do you think we should impeach Joe Biden after these recent developments? Thanks so much. I'm not quick to go to the impeachment procedure, but it's time to start to escalate things considering the damage he is doing to this country. The great one, Mark Levin, author of American Marxism, gave one of the best monologues that I've heard in recent memory on Sean Hannity's program last night. It's three parts. I'm going to comment after each one of them. And I want you to think about this. Why are Republicans going and signaling to go vote for an infrastructure bill while Joe Biden is doing the damage he's doing to our country? And I'll be very honest with you. I got started in politics in the Obama era. And I think at times we overly criticized Obama, the person, and not his policies and his damage. I think we are under criticizing Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden gets a free pass, largely because he just deflects it so much because he's so non-threatening to so many people. Make no mistake, this guy's an egomaniac. And this guy's doing very specific damage, almost irreparably. Cut 90, the great one.
Joe Biden is the most disastrous president in modern American history. No president has ever done this to his own people. This guy is a coward. He buckles to the radical left in his party. He's a fool. The idea that people who are vaccinated are the ones who are going to be punished. It's like the gun owners who are law-abiding are the ones who are going to be punished. It's like the successful people in this country. They're the ones they intend to punish with the tax code. Is there anything going right in this country? Gasoline prices going up, food prices going up, anything going right on this country? The border wide open.
I want to reemphasize what he just said. Penalizing the people that follow the rules and prioritizing and benefiting the people that don't. Isn't that the same thing we were just talking about with the rent moratorium or the eviction moratorium? Same thing that we talk about with the bailouts of the companies that have unsustainable checkbooks and balance sheets? What this is really all about is Biden wants to turn Texas blue, bring in as many Hondurans and Nicaraguans as we possibly can. Eventually, through sheer numbers, we're going to turn Texas into New York and the country will be done. Cut 91.
Towns are overwhelmed, and let me tell you why he's doing it. Let's be blunt. He wants to turn Texas blue. He wants to turn Arizona blue. This street politician from Wilmington, Delaware, the dumbest man to ever serve in the Senate, the dumbest man to ever be vice president, is now the dumbest man to ever be president. He's got a massive ego. He's a narcissist. He wants to go down in history as the greatest president. He's going to go down in history as the greatest disaster. He's doing more to weaken this country than the communist Chinese could ever pray to do.
And so Mark Levin now says, hey, Republicans, it's time to step up. It's time to do something about this. And I've been texting back and forth with a couple senators. I need to get my thoughts organized before I say that. I'm disappointed. Let's just put it that way. I don't want to say anything out of turn. Cut 92.
Well, isn't it time to remove this guy from the Oval Office or at least make an effort? So you tough guy Republicans who come on here, you tough guy Republicans on radio, how about it? The I word, impeachment. Let's start to talk about it. Or the 25th Amendment. It'll never happen, but let's start to talk about it. He's doing more damage to this country, as far as I'm concerned, than any single one of our enemies.
And instead, the I word that we talk about is infrastructure. Yeah, let's go bargain with these people. Let's go negotiate with the Democrats. Any Republican that is going to vote for this infrastructure package, while the damage that's being done to our country, you shouldn't even return the call from the White House. We are playing checkers, nice little game of checkers with tea, and they're playing MMA blood sport for the death. Another question here. Hey, Charlie, are there other examples? This is Ron from the Inland Empire. Hey, Charlie, are there any other examples of countries that have done the sort of nationalist, I'm trying to like read the type of words, or pro-nation reforms that you want to see implemented, have done them well? That's the essence of his email. Well, Tucker Carlson was just recently in Hungary. I think he's still there. And of course, the media is losing their mind. How dare you compliment Hungary, right? You're only allowed to compliment countries that are falling apart. How dare you talk about countries that actually have their act together? Terrible person. And Hungary is a country of about 10 million people. And Tucker talks about how in Hungary, they had the political will to actually fix some problems. So, hey, Republicans out there, you can learn a lot from the Hungarian government and Hungarian leaders. You know why? They saw a problem and they were willing to try and fix it. They didn't just talk about it. They didn't just try to get favor in the European Union. They didn't just try to get reelected. They saw a problem because they love their country and they fixed it. Cut 94.
And we looked at this Hungarian wall that has effectively ended illegal migration into the country. And we found a couple of things. For one, it's not actually a wall. It's a chain link fence. It's very simple. And if you sat for the last 5 years and listened to American experts debate how it's impossible to stop immigration with the wall, no matter how high tech, you learned that that's a complete lie. All you need is the will to do it.
The will to do it. Are you in some way upset at the direction the country's doing? And just so you know, if you're listening to this right now, Charlie, why won't Republicans do it? They don't want to. That's why. They want the job at the corporate board afterwards, like the corporate shill, Governor Hutchinson from Arkansas. I think we're actually live in Arkansas right now. So that's kind of fun to be able to attack the governor of Arkansas. He's terrible. Absolutely awful. He regrets. He's like, I regret signing a mask mandate ban. I like children being chemically castrated, or that's liberty to allow children to chemically castrate themselves. Yeah, right. I guarantee this. He'll be on the board of Walmart in the next 5 years. Guarantee it. Cut 95. Tucker recounts how he witnessed that on the Hungarian border, if someone crossed and came in, they're immediately processed and released back. Here's the difference. In Hungary, they're not ruled by a corporate class. They're not ruled by self-interested, quite honestly, very weak Republicans like we have in our country. Cut 95.
While we were on the border today, the Serbian border in Hungary, we saw two people who attempted to come illegally. Both of them turned out to be from Syria. And we watched what happened when they were apprehended. It was a very straightforward process, so straightforward that it was a little confusing to watch. They came over the border. They were immediately picked up by Border Patrol. They were brought to a detainment area. They were treated politely. We were there the whole time. They were photographed. They were searched for weapons on the outside of their clothing. And then they were escorted through a door, and we followed them. We thought they're going to further processing or to meet with their attorneys or some Soros-funded NGO, and then moved into some other part of Hungary to stay there forever, at least a few years. But that's not what it was. That door was the border. And as we followed them through, they were escorted back where they came from.
In Cut 96, I've had this experience. When I talk to friends overseas, it's embarrassing to have to talk about what we do in our country. It's honestly become an embarrassment. You know, they said, oh, Trump's turning us into the laughingstock of the world. That's not true at all, by the way. Now, none of that was true. What is embarrassing is trying to describe what's happening to our country because we're doing it to ourselves.
And as we watched this happen, we said to a Hungarian minister who was standing there, it's hard to believe that's your policy. When you come here illegally, you're just escorted out politely. And he said, quote, we're a serious country. How embarrassing to be an American in a conversation like that, to realize the greatest country on earth is not on some level a serious country because it allows the chaos that inevitably occurs, the human suffering that inevitably occurs when you open your borders.
Next question here from Anna Lee, but I just want to close that out with Tucker. It is embarrassing, and it's because of the Republican Party. Forget the Democrats. Republicans could fix this if they want to. What's missing is that word, will. They're afraid of bad articles from the Washington Post. They're afraid of lobbyists getting in their ear. They're afraid of blackmail being released on them. They're afraid of not getting reelected. They would rather be happy and content and their children go to nice universities. They probably become liberals and the country fall apart. Anna Lee, my roommate and I got COVID a couple weeks ago. Quarantined for 10 days and have been doing great. We are not vaccinated. We felt like we had the flu and lost our taste of smell. Our COVID test simply said positive and the doctors never mentioned anything about the Delta variant. My question is where and how are they testing for the Delta variant? If the variant is supposedly so prevalent right now, why was it not mentioned to me or my roommate when we just had COVID? I try to focus on facts over fear, but it seems to be a question that no one can answer. Well, the reason no one can answer it is because the testing is so unbelievably flawed in this country. The PCR tests have come out and they basically said the testing is completely and totally screwed up. That basically they've just been totally guessing it's actually not accurate. So we don't know who actually has COVID. We don't know if they have COVID-like symptoms. We can guess, we can see a symptom pattern, but it's very expensive to determine if it's Delta or not. So what's really going on here? Is the vaccine actually correlated with higher rates of the virus? Well, what if I told you that 12 out of 13 of the most vaccinated countries in the world are now listed by the CDC as a travel risk? Let me say that again. That 12 out of 13 of the most vaccinated countries in the world are now listed by the CDC as a travel risk. We're going to talk about a couple test cases, including Gibraltar, a small country, the most vaccinated country in the world that's now locking down again because of the trouble that they're seeing. Larry from Tennessee asks a kind of a question about vaccination rates and what's really going on here. Let me read you some numbers here. With around 33,000 residents, Gibraltar is the most vaccinated country on earth. This is from Kanoka the Great, the Telegram channel. Really smart. By June 1st, over 99% of Gibraltar's population was fully vaccinated. We independently verified this, by the way. Since that time, the new COVID cases per day have increased from 1 to 25, and the country's now going back into lockdowns. Similar stories are occurring in countries with the highest percentage vaccinated, Israel, UK, Malta, and Iceland. Iceland is saying they need 15 years of lockdowns. Iceland has the third highest rate of COVID-19 vaccinations in the world, with 75% of the population vaccinated. Thankfully, viruses get less deadly over time, and deaths in Iceland remain near zero. Wait, if the virus is getting less deadly over time, why are we locking down again, and why do we have to vaccinate as much? That's somewhat illogical, isn't it? We're not ruled by logic or reason. We're definitely not ruled by courage. Ron DeSantis would be the exception. Also, here's a question. Can I get a vaccine passport for saying I've already had COVID? Can I get an antibody passport? Why is no one talking about that? In fact, we should start floating that. What about antibody passports? No? Because I asked my office, I said, who here's had COVID? 3/4 of the hands rose. I said, how was it? They're like, I lost sleep for a night and I coughed a little bit. Oh, so that's worth destroying our civilization over. It really is incredible how the adults that are in politics in our country have messed this entire thing up. America could have led on this. We really could. We could have been anti-lockdown, pro-liberty, pro-freedom, pro-therapeutic treatment. And so here's the real question, the logical question, and the obvious one. Based on empirical data, is the vaccine making things better, no change, or making things worse? That's a legitimate question. Because the data is actually showing an increase. That's a scientific question. There's a massive anti-lockdown protest happening in Melbourne, Australia. And guess what Australia is doing? They're sending the military into the streets. Martial law. So to answer your question, what's going on with all of this? As we have went through mass inoculation and mass vaccination, we have now seen the opposite happened. Now, they say, oh, it's a crisis of the unvaccinated. First of all, the CDC's own data shows that in Massachusetts, they showed that vaccinated people were more likely to actually get infected. That's the CDC's own leaked data. So let's put that aside. What about the countries that are almost all 100% vaccinated? What about them? What about the countries that are almost all subservient to AstraZeneca, Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson? So here's a question. If the vaccine works so well, why do you need boosters? Is this about social control or is this about public health? Can somebody who's in the leadership of our country answer this question? What number of deaths a day do you want to reach until you can fully reopen the country again? If the vaccine works so well, why do you need to wear masks inside around your children? If the vaccine works so well, why are rates going up and then you still want everyone to go get it? Medscape has started the public discussion for medical professions about adverse events related to COVID-19 vaccines. There's over 1,000 comments so far. And I think you have to have a portal to log into that. Is that right, Connor? That's just for medical professionals. That's not just like some blog. And we know this to be true. Even when I had this conversation where I got a little bit heated, not overly angry, but I got emotional because I'm so into this with Vaush and Tim Pool, and I thought it was a great discussion around the vaccine because I have received 6,000 emails of people that have had adverse event reactions, emails and comments and notes. And I'm just supposed to ignore that? I'm just supposed to ignore when someone says, oh yeah, my dad dropped dead after he got the Moderna shot. Oh yeah, my daughter can't walk. Or, oh yeah, I had a miscarriage. Like, oh no, stop it. There's nothing to that. I will believe my lying eyes. Thank you very much. So we don't actually know the answer to a lot of these questions. What we do know is that there's more to this story and that the lockdowns must end immediately and they're doing massive damage to your children and our country. I'm not going to put up with it and we're going to push back against it. Will you? I hope so. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, go to tpusa.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
So first of all, why study history? It comes from a Greek word, means inquiry, looking into things. The first book of history was written by Herodotus. It's called The Histories. It's a story of the past. And of course, not everything in the past, significant things in the past, things that we can learn from, things that stand for something. It's just a piece, really, of this wish that we have to understand. In his Metaphysics, Aristotle says in the first line, the human soul stretches itself out to know. We like to know. And one of the things we like to know is we like to know about ourselves. Because unlike other creatures, we're not ruled simply by instinct. We have to choose our way. Which way should we go? And then the second thing is we look at others. And we are unusually well equipped to do this because we can talk. We can explain things to each other. We can tell each other about our inmost thoughts. So history just expands the scope. And the past is the only thing we can study intensely. The present is fleeting. Past is fixed, at least according to the old school of thought. These days, it's a deconstructionist age, and what we think is we're our own special time, a development or a progress on previous times. And that sets up a way to reinterpret those old times so that they fit our categories. And we tend to look down on them a bit, too. And that seems to me exactly wrong. Aristotle writes, this alone is denied even to God to make what has been not to have been. So history, it gives us a fixity that is made up of things that at the time were constantly shifting and hard to estimate. When we're picking what we're going to do from among various options, we always have two things in mind. One is, what would be the right thing to do? And the other is, what is possible to do? And you know, you can't always do the purely right thing. Well, if you go back and study the people in the past, they're in the same situation. And yet, in their case, the whole story is known. It's not changing anymore. And you can go back and you can put yourself in the shoes, you know, of Winston Churchill or of Abraham Lincoln. Those, by the way, are two things that are sublime to do, beautiful to do, important to do. And you can be with them where Lincoln faces the question, should I let the South go? Look at the body count. Lincoln grappled with that question. You can grapple with him. Churchill, should we fight to the death against Hitler? He's offering a deal. So the point is, there's a lot to know. And what can you know? Can you know it's now right or wrong to do what we're going to do in some country where we've had wars? No, you can just know that a serious man had caution about that. And what were the factors that he evaluated to make up his mind? You could look at the same factors. They may be different today. But all of that depends on treating history as if it is made by people who, although very different from us in many ways, are yet still people. The animals that can talk to each other, learn from each other, recognize good and evil, which are all, by the way, we have a course on Aristotle where we explain this. Those are all related. Our ability to see good and evil and our ability to talk boil down to the same thing. And so a creature like that, which lives in a perishable body and has needs, how does it steer itself by the ultimate truth when in its needs it's just like any animal? Well, that's the human test, and the people in the past had to go through that test. Good history, then, will be an accurate, insofar as it's humanly possible to make it, picture of what happened in the past, with a sympathy for the people so that one can learn from them. They made mistakes. Yeah, and don't we? Do we live in a perfect world today? If we don't, then they were grappling with the same thing we are.